reading today will be taken from John chapter 7, verses 37, 38, and 39. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scriptures have said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not been glorified.
When we resume meeting for Sunday morning worship, I started a series of lessons. And generally, they're titled Why We Need, and then there will be a subject added. We've talked about the Bible. We've talked about Jesus. And I've got to tell you that the foundation for this series is actually one that I come across. But it comes from my heart for a lot of reasons. And I think that if the Bible can't help us not only solve our spiritual issues, which, by the way, I think are at the heart of our struggles today, if it can't help us do that, then I'm not sure what my purpose would be in the pulpit. If you want to take a college class and learn about Greek and Hebrew, I've been through those, and I can tell you it's interesting. And what I'm saying, by the way, is not in any response to any criticism. I just want to help you understand why I preach the way I preach, because I think it'll help you understand why I say some of the things I say. I look on my television, which I'll be honest with you, these days, if you spend 2 seconds doing it, you've probably spent two more than you needed to. And I see horrible things. I see people who destroy, who maim. I see institutions that should be honored, disgraced. I see people who claim to want to help, actually hurting. And I see the people that are hurting, struggling. And the people who are in a position to help, often, for all the wrong reasons, don't do anything to help those who need the help, who actually put them in the position of authority. And that bothers me. I don't like being lied to, because in a sense that's being slapped in the face. It's like somebody looking at you and saying, if you'll put me in power, I'll do my job and I'll go to every party. I'll do everything in the world to live the life of celebrity and to go and be at every good occasion that puts me in a good light. But when it comes to doing something positive, well, you know, we need to sit and think about this. We got to say, you already knew what you had to do before you got there. You know what I love about Jesus? One, among many things, is that he always does what he says he's going to do. He's honest to the point that he will look us in the eye and tell us, those that need his help, he will look us in the eye and tell us, we need to repent. He won't sit up there and pretend. Now, he'll provide the avenue. He'll make the sacrifice. He will give his very own life, spill his own blood. And will look at us and say, you know what, folks, I love you. You need to repent. In looking at one of the things that discourages me about some of the solutions proposed is that we're more concerned about the color of Jesus than we are the color of our own hearts. That's a problem. That is a distinct problem. I heard one person say, we need to burn down all the churches. If I have to live in this building, nobody's going to burn this building down. I don't understand the world we live in today. It is so foreign to what I've known. And I don't think it's because I'm an old man. Is it, Will? Am I an old man? Is that what it is? I'm so old I don't get it anymore. I'll tell you why I don't get it, and I'll tell you why most Christians don't get it. Because when you see the truth and you see the answers, the hard thing to understand is why people won't accept it. That's the difficulty. And imagine if everybody loved each other the way we should. Would we have any of these problems? Would starvation exist? Would some of the problems we face today that we struggle with as a nation, if people would just learn to live like Christ, would that not solve the... Would we need to make a... Laws are already made. They're made in our political system, they're made in our communities, and they're made by God. Man has a hard time with law. Because a law is a pretty definite thing. It's a pretty absolute thing. I either do it or I don't. Today we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. It's a subject that a lot of folks stray away from because we're afraid of what it's going to sound like. Well, I'm going to tell you today, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. Because of its importance. The Holy Spirit is not just an academic subject in the Bible. We have a need for it. The Holy Spirit operates and does things that we cannot do. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is God. That's what we talk about, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in our minds, we've just delineated. And it is a biblical fact that they exist. The three is one. Sometimes the term Trinity is used, but the Godhead is used. But the fact of the matter is, the three are one. And when I talk about Jesus, I'm talking about God. When I talk about the Father, I'm talking about God. When I talk about the Holy Spirit, I'm talking about God. They're not lesser degrees of anything. They're all the same in terms of their importance and their righteousness. The very first sermon I preached in this series was why we need God. And I'm going to tell you, folks, we can do all we want to do in the world today. But if we keep pushing God out, we will never succeed at what we're trying to accomplish. We're never going to do it. And I think there are folks in this world today that think if God wasn't here... I heard somebody say they wanted to change the national anthem to John Lennon's Imagine. By the way, I like the song Imagine. Some preachers don't. You can have your own opinion about what you think it is. I think it's an interesting song. It's an unrealistic song. It's unrealistic because God does exist. There is a heaven, there is a hell, and I can wish it wasn't, but it is. There are penalties for my decisions in life. I face the outcome and the ramifications of the decisions I make. And a lot of people don't like that. We might be surprised to find out that some of our problems in life, we created. I can't always look at Carolyn and blame Carolyn, can I? I might want to. I might want to blame everybody else for the struggle I'm having. But if I am not where God wants me to be, it is nobody's fault but the guy I'm looking at in the mirror. That's my fault. And I can blame all the folks I want. I can say if I had a better wife, better family, better church, if I had a better community, if I lived in a better nation, if I had more stuff, if I had more things, if I was smarter, if I looked better, if I was healthier, if I was taller, if I was skinnier, maybe if I was fatter, maybe that's the problem. I got more distance to go. I just hadn't got there yet. Is that right, Harold? See, I can blame all I want to blame. But the most important part of my life, I am directly responsible for. And that's my commitment to God. John 7, verses 37 to 39 has just been read for us, and I appreciate that. Why do I need the Holy Spirit? Well, first of all, let's go back to what the Bible has to say. It is a promise. Have you ever gotten a gift that was thoughtless? I mean, somebody maybe didn't know you, or somebody didn't care. It didn't show an amount of thought. And it's okay. I'm not asking for any answers because I don't want any divorce counseling coming up anytime soon. But if you got one of those gifts, then I want to tell you that it's an entirely human thing. Sometimes when you get something like that, maybe you just say, you know what? What do we say? It's the thought, you know? Somebody thought enough to try to give you a good gift. Maybe they didn't know what to give you. Or maybe they were going by the convenience store and just remembered, uh-oh, I know what the date is. I better come home with something. So we get one of those. But let me tell you something. God doesn't give gifts like that. When there are promises made to us in Scripture, they are made to us with a distinct purpose and a distinct goal. And there is no gift that is ever given to us by God that doesn't have the actual intention of bringing us home. Bringing us home. I think sometimes we think to ourselves, well, you know, I've got to do all I can to get to heaven. Well, I hope that you're living your life in such a way that you want to glorify God. Ultimately, if you get to heaven, it's going to be because God got you there. His grace. It's not because He selected you and did something to you and all that kind of stuff. But what I'm saying is that sometimes we think we can do it all. And we fail in Christianity because we give up. I can't do this. I can't be what God called for me to be. What are you supposed to do when you sin, you fall down on your knees spiritually? Just lay down on the ground, curl up in a little ball, and let Satan keep on beating on you? You confess, and you pray, and you get up, and you move. You keep walking forward. Because I can tell you this, the blood of Christ will heal you, it can mend you, and it can cleanse you. But faith, that's my component. I determine whether or not I want to be faithful. Nobody else can determine that for me. God doesn't make me faithful. He demands my faith. I want you to think about it. Because some people say, well, you know, God, people have different faith. And the Bible talks about that, but it is highly misconstrued. And if this was a sermon about faith, I'd get into more detail about that. But believe me, faith is what you and I bring to the table. I either believe in Jesus or I don't. I believe in what He says or I don't. I need to face that. And I need to own that. Because if I walk out of this building and into that world and I can't maintain the faith that I claim in here, then maybe I am a hypocrite. Maybe I am not where God wants me to be. And maybe I need to own that for sure. But Jesus promised this Holy Spirit. He says, and I want to read very carefully. I appreciate Brian reading it earlier. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out. I want you to look. Jesus stood and He whispered. No. Jesus stood and He spoke calmly. Used His indoor voice. No. Jesus stood and He cried out. I don't know about y'all, but when my granny would yell, it was because she expected folks to hear her. And the one thing about my granny is, whether you heard her or not, she held you accountable for what she said. So if you weren't listening, you paid the price. Well, yeah, I heard you say something, granny, but okay, well, go get the switch anyway. I don't want to hear about it. Jesus cries out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus is already forecasting something that we need. And the people who were listening understood what he meant. But we need this. I want you to understand the first thing about the Spirit, and that is that we need Him. We need that aspect of God. And don't be afraid of it. Just study it. Understand it from what the Bible says it is. Don't listen to what everybody tells you it is. And I would invite you, Leighton this morning asked me for the notes on my sermon. I'm glad to give my notes to anybody. You can look them over. You can study them. You can mark them up. You can say, I don't know about that. Do whatever you want to with them. But sit down and look at them and take the time to look at the Word, because I promise you this. I don't ask you to believe anything that is not specifically in Scripture. It's interesting to me how many people think that religion and faith is a fraud because you can't see it. And yet they believe the worst philosophies and principles that man can continually pump out. There's a reason Satan is called the father of what? All lies. Because he's happy to give you one. If you want to lie, he's got one on tap. By the way, humans are not natural liars. We just got somebody that helps us. If you need a lie on tap, he'll give you one. It'll never help you. It will destroy you. It will kill you spiritually. And he's happy to let you have it. All you want. That's why we need to be honest about what it is we seek. It was promised by Peter in Acts 2, 38 and 39. Peter said to them, "Repent, each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. You'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to Himself." Peter said, this is the gift that comes. It's part of what comes as a result of being baptized and committing your life to God. In the waters of baptistry, two things happen. Two. You're forgiven of your sins. All that past that you were worried about that separated you from God, that wall you built, all that is destroyed. God says, "The blood of my Son cleanses you." And the second thing is, we're invested, we are tagged, we are stamped with the seal of the Holy Spirit. We are given that so that in whatever spiritual realm our soul exists, wherever it goes, whoever sees us recognizes about us, we belong to God. We belong to God. And something, and I don't know all the ramifications of that. I'm sure the Bible doesn't tell us. But somewhere along the way, there are spiritual entities and spiritual forces that when they see that, they know. All right, that's God's child right there. Now, maybe it makes us a target. And maybe it protects us. I have a feeling it probably does both. But I'll tell you one thing, when the neighborhood I grew up in, Hinton Street, Petersburg, Virginia, Google that one day. Don't Google too close. And people knew who you were. If you were from the neighborhood, they knew it. If you weren't from the neighborhood, you were a target. Well, let me just say everybody was a target. But if you were from the neighborhood, they knew you were a local target. If you weren't from the neighborhood, well, you were fair game for everybody. If you belong to somebody's household, though, particular people's household, man, you don't mess with those people because that's so-and-so's brother, that's so-and-so's sister, that's so-and-so's mom or dad. You don't mess with those folks. That's the neighborhood I grew up in. It's a bad place. Somewhere in the spiritual realm, there are people who see us, entities who see us, and they say to themselves, those people belong to God. And I'll tell you this, whatever they can do to us now, when the time comes when we go to be with God, we're untouchable. When we leave this world, we have an opportunity to go live with God for all eternity. You need to understand that spiritual struggle, that vulnerability, whatever it is within us that is there, is gone. We're not harassed anymore by Satan or his entities. That's over. Unless, of course, we don't go to heaven. And then we spend our eternity with all of those entities who were waiting to devour us in the first place. And that's our choices. But the Spirit marks us, kind of like a wedding ring. I got to go home today, and I have a gold ring that I usually wear. And I dropped it under my dresser this morning. And I didn't want Laura to think I was having a heart attack, laying on the floor with my arms stuck up under the dresser. So I grabbed my silicone. I have a bunch of these little silicone bands, and I wear these. They're really, they're good if you're working or something. They don't crush to your finger. They can even tear if you have to tear them off or whatever. But I put this thing on. And I just do it because I've always worn a band. Laura and I have been married 35 years, and I've just always worn one. And a lot of people liken the Holy Spirit to a wedding band. And it's a good, it is a marker that indicates when people in our culture see this, they know either he really likes silicone or he's married, maybe both, you know. But when the Holy Spirit is recognized within our spiritual character, our spiritual being, then the recognition is that we do belong to God. It was promised by Paul. Paul said in Galatians 4 and verse 6, because you were sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. The Spirit of His Son, the Holy Spirit, crying, Abba, Father. Now, we also need the Holy Spirit because of the work that it does. And I'm just going to go through a few things in terms of the work that the Holy Spirit does. In John 16, verses 7 to 11, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, in this case the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. And He, when He comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment, concerning sin because they don't believe in Me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see Me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. And you know who the ruler of this world is in that passage? It's Satan. And Satan's not the ruler of this world because he overpowered God. Satan's not the ruler of this world because he snuck in the back door and he's sitting on the throne. Satan's the ruler of this world because mankind has elected him to be so. That's why he's the ruler. You think popular vote's always a good thing? Man has elected Satan to rule this world. He's the prince of the power of the air. But this scripture says he's been judged. So it's kind of like God saying, you know what? Your future is already forecast. It's already taken care of. The question for us today is who it is we're going to decide to follow. But the Spirit convicts the world. Because if it convicts sin, it convicts the world. It regenerates. Now, this is an interesting concept. Regenerates the sinner. In Titus 3, verses 4 to 6, when the kindness of God, our Savior, His love for mankind appeared, He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy. Remember I told you that when we get to heaven, it won't be because of all the good we did. It will ultimately be because of the mercy of God. That's precisely what is written in Titus. By the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. I need to be washed and cleansed and renewed and healed. I need that. You need that. The world needs that. I can do everything I want to the world around me, but I won't heal until I come in contact with the Holy Spirit. That's where I heal. I think we try so hard to heal and so many other... Well, if we just heal and everybody would just one thing... Let me tell you something. Until we contact the Holy Spirit, we are going to be laid open. We are going to be festering. We're going to be wounded. We're going to be dying. And the Bible says spiritually we'll be dead. Until I come in contact with that Holy Spirit, I am not raised up to that newness of life we read about in Romans chapter 6. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 11... The Holy Spirit sanctifies the saved. Such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. What does it mean to be sanctified? It means I'm set apart. Y'all knew I was special, didn't you? Y'all are special too. In the eyes of God, we are all special. Now, what does it mean to be sanctified? The whole world's not sanctified. Okay? We are all human beings are made in the image of God, but not everybody's sanctified. Sanctification is the result of placing yourself in the will of God. It is placing yourself in submission to the cross. That's when we receive the Holy Spirit, we are then sanctified by that Holy Spirit. We are set apart. We're set in another category. We're not there anymore. It doesn't mean that we're better, but it does mean we're saved. Praise His name. So let's take a look real quickly at the third set of things we're going to take a look at here. The Holy Spirit is a blessing. And there are blessings as a result of being inhabited by the Holy Spirit, which we'll talk about in just a minute. First thing, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? You are not your own. I don't belong to me. You don't belong to you. If you're a Christian today, you belong to who? God. Folks wake up and we worry about our plans. Laura will tell you, going on vacation with me, we have two entirely different attitudes. She is a... And we vacillated. I think we've shifted sides on this a time or two. But she sometimes wants a plan. Like if we go somewhere, she wants to say all the places she wants to go. And I'm like, I'm tired of listening to the schedule. I'm like, leave me in the hotel rooms. And she's and sometimes I'll be that. I'll be, you know, well, we got a plan. We got to do whatever. And she's like, I don't. Let's just, you know, whatever. And it's interesting when I look at that and I think about how different sometimes people can be. I'm going to tell you a story, though. Christians can have different attitudes about different things, but there are some things biblically we cannot vacillate on, and that's what Scripture mandates to us. I heard a gentleman say one time he believed that the Holy Spirit did not indwell humanity. Well, then what do you do about 1 Corinthians 6:19? If somebody has to spend 45 minutes in a sermon telling you why one verse doesn't say what it says, I think maybe they're going down the wrong path. It says what it says. And I can have all the plans I want about what it ought to be and what it ought to do and where it ought to go and whatever, but I'm going to tell you the truth of the matter is, it is what God says it is. It does what God says it does. God tells us that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So what does that mean? That means wherever my body is, if you're a Christian, wherever your body is, God is. So be careful where you take God. Be careful where you take Him. Don't go anywhere that you would be. If God were in physical form, if Jesus were walking right beside you in physical form, and you'd be, well, Lord, I usually go in there, but we can't go in there because that's not a good place. Then what are you doing going in there? Why are you going in there? Well, we can't do that, Lord, because you know you wouldn't enjoy that. Well, then why do you do it? So many folks want to talk about their freedoms in Christ, and they'd be ashamed to live their life in front of the Lord, not realizing that if you call yourself a Christian and you are inhabited by the Holy Spirit, He's already there. You're not telling Him anything He doesn't know. He's witnessed it. He's seen it. We talked earlier about the seal, and I'm not going to go over that again. But then there's the earnest of the Spirit. I don't know if y'all bought a home recently. I guess it's been like this for a long time. But if you buy a home, a lot of times when you're writing down the contract, making a proposal, they ask you for earnest money. Now, if there's a real estate agent in the audience, I'm not picking on you. I'm just saying this about that circumstance. I had an agent tell me one time, well, you know, this house is hot. By the way, you'll never look at a house with a real estate agent that is not hot. You know, oh, we got 25 people lined up. Yeah, I bet you do. And we need earnest money from you. Now, I've never been a person that's had a lot of money in my life, and I certainly don't have thousands sitting in a bank account waiting so I can... And by the way, earnest money most of the time is lost. If you make that proposal and they say, okay, we accept your proposal, but you back out of the deal later, the earnest money is lost. So why am I going to put $1,500 down when I find out they got a sewer problem after this whole thing got started and they got my $1,500. Well, Lonnie was born at night, but earnest. And earnest is what is given as a promise of something in the future. That's what an earnest really is. An earnest money in a real estate transaction, it is a promise that I'm going to pay for this house, what we've agreed upon, and I'm going to follow. And that's fine. If you put earnest money down, don't listen to me. If you made financial things based on my knowledge, you'd be just like me. And believe me, you'd probably have less than what you got. But when it comes to earnest of the Holy Spirit, it's an earnest. What does that mean? It means that God gives us this right now so that we can have a fine expectation of what the future is going to be like. None of us can know how great heaven's going to be, but the Holy Spirit is granted to us as an earnest and understanding that God is invested in us. And He's not going to back out of it. We might back out of it. We might kick Him out. I don't recommend that. But he's not running away from us. He's not conning us. He's not trying to just suck us into some thing where we get scammed. This is an earnest of what's, this is a promise of what's to come. So Ephesians 1 verses 13 and 14, in Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who was given as a pledge, some translations say an earnest, of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of His glory. A promise, if you will. Galatians 5:22-26, we talk about the fruit of the Spirit. In fact, every time I read this verse, I want to break into song. Do y'all know the fruit of the Spirit song? I ain't going to sing it up here. Don't get scared. But there's a song called The Fruit. I love it. It's sung at VBS's and things like that. It's very fun. And it's a powerful song, really. It's simply a recitation of the Scripture. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Have you ever read those fruits and wondered to yourself, how do I get there? I can tell you how you can't get there. You can't get there on your own. You cannot get there. You might, well, yeah, but I can. No, you can't. You cannot be what God wants you to be without His help. Now, we can repent. We can walk away from all the sin we've ever committed. And if you were capable, and I don't think you are, but if you were capable to live a sinless life for the rest of your days, do you know you would still need God's help to be in His presence? Why? Because we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and there is no changing that history as far as that goes. Not without God's intervention. So that's one of the things that the Spirit does. Those fruits of the Spirit, how do I learn how to love? How can I love my enemy? Well, you're going to need some help from God. That's how. I wouldn't do it on my own. My natural inclination is not to love my enemy. But God's inclination for His children is that we do. Finally, and I'm going to end with the intercession of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:26, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. We don't know how to pray as we should. Listen to that. Do you know you don't know how to pray? Really what that verse is saying is we don't know everything we need from a spiritual standpoint, but God does. I don't know the metaphysics of how to heal myself spiritually, and I don't even know all the things I've done wrong. But the Spirit does. And that verse is concluded, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. He says things in translation that I can't even say myself. That's a powerful thought. Have you ever poured out your heart to God thinking, Lord, I know I need something, but I just don't know what I need? Well, that's an honest statement. You ever asked a young child if they got caught, maybe they got in trouble doing something they were told not to do, and what's their reason? Yet, why'd you do that? What do you always hear? I don't know. And some parents are like, well, you do know. I'm going to. No, they don't. They really don't. I heard what you said. I know you told me what I was supposed to do, and either I didn't do it or I did do it, whatever the case was, but I got myself in trouble, and you asked me why I did it. I don't know. And by the way, it's not just children. It's grown adults that find themselves in those positions too. Why have we all fallen short of the glory of God? I don't know. I just know the Bible says that we have. And if God says we have, folks, we have. We need the Holy Spirit. We need all of the things that it brings to our life. We need every part of it. We need to understand it better than we do. I hope and pray that you'll spend some time studying this subject more deeply. And if you have any questions about anything I've said today, I'm more than happy to sit and talk with you. If today you're a Christian and you find yourself not being where you should be with God, or perhaps you've not begun your walk with God, And you need to do that. You need to do that. And you need to do that today. You don't need to do it later. I mean, if later comes, but I don't know that we're going to walk out of this building and not see Jesus in the sky. We could. I'm not trying to scare anybody, but that's a spiritual fact. He is going to come back. I don't know when. I can't tell you when. He says He'll come back like what? A thief in the night. In other words, when you least expect Him. But that's where He'll be. So I encourage you today, if you need to make a commitment to Christ that you've not made, if you need to turn your life over to Him, then today is the day to do that. If you would like, in just a second we'll sing a song and you can come down the aisle and we'll meet you down here and talk with you. Or if you'd like to meet with me after service is over, I'll be standing right up here. And Stoney and Denise will make sure I don't move. And they'll hold me in place. But I'll be glad to talk with you there. So if you have any need, won't you please come while we stand, while we sing.